We move in our continuum. Take your document out. Don't leave home without it. There are some excerpts in the back in case you don't have it. Repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures.
Scriptural comprehensions of measures.
The matrix. Let's go to page 30 of the Liberman is our designated reader this morning. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. I know I've been there quite a while, and whatever it takes to convey the essence of what things are and what things aren't, which is simply the difference between spirituality and physicality. In addition, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 1 this morning, focusing on verse 3. As we focus on what life is and what life isn't. What is your true existence? Who and what are you? According to our gospel, we are members of the body of Christ, which means that our existence is qualified by where we have been positioned. And according to Ephesians 1 and 4, He chose us and placed us in Him as the first order of existence. And so, we are according to where we are, who we are, is defined by where we are. We are members of His body. And so to get to the definition of who we are, we must first look and see who He is. Because who we are is in relationship to who He is. In the body of Christ, there is only one head. And you know, if you look at anybody's body, I look at you, you look at me, how do you identify me? By the head. And so there's only one identifying focus in the body, and that is Christ. So we are of Him. And the essence of who we are must be traced to Him.
Thank God, yeah.
Which aligns with Colossians 1 and 16 that conveys the fact that we are in Him as all things are in Him. There's no other place for anything to be but in Him. All things were created in Him. And all things flow through Him. And it's happening for Him. Let's do that again. In Him. Through Him. For Him. And it's a tough lesson to get because we have tendencies to focus on ourselves. Elder, let's start here in the the fifth verse this morning. Now, to bring it into context, as we flow into this verse, Paul is dealing with the essence of identifying who the child of God really is.
That's right. Amen.
In order to solidify the essence of what is and what isn't. Remember, contextualize what's in these antecedent verses or prior verses in chapter 8, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. It flows from the 7th chapter where Paul was speaking of a dilemma. And the dilemma was... is that, you know, it's almost like I'm schizo. My spirit loves the Lord, but my flesh really doesn't want to have anything to do with him. He said that with the spirit I serve the Lord, with the flesh, my focus is depraved, sinfully depraved. And ask the question, oh, wretched man that I am, speaking of the physical man, so what am I going to do about this? I'm just paraphrasing. How can I be delivered from this? But then he gives the answer. He said, with the Spirit, the spirit man is about God. It is only the physical man who is all messed up. But don't worry, he's not going to be around long.
That's right. Amen.
Look into that another part of Paul writes to the Corinthians. He said, some say if, but actually it's eon, if indeed, a since. This earthly house of this tabernacle, this physical man, and if you use the actual grammatical structure, it is maybe having been destroyed. That problem is already solved.
Amen. Thank God.
So you move the physical man, and the only one that is left is spirit. Then he moves into what we call chapter 8, verse 1. He said, there is no condemnation to the spiritual man. Problem solved.
Amen.
The law, its failure is in the fellow that is going to be separated from me. And that's as far as it goes. So we are free from the law of sin and death. Because he is confined to the physical man. So that the righteousness in verse 4 might be fulfilling us. You know, and he said, in us, that said, it is fulfilled in who I really am, the spiritual man. Who is the spiritual man? That's who God placed in Christ before there was any manifestation of physicality.
Right.
Y'all don't hear me this morning. That's the one that walked not after the flesh, but after the spirit. The spiritual man. His focus and his priority are those things that are spiritual. Now he goes into verse 5. Elder, read that first from the King James, and then we'll go into the Greek, and then we're going to go into some exegesis, and then we're going to go into Hebrews and do an exercise that Paul does in the preamble and opening of his letter to the Hebrews.
Amen.
Everyone has Romans chapter 8, verse 5, amen.
Amen.
Read.
Romans chapter 8, beginning with the 5th verse in the King James translation.
Mm-hmm.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
All right, now let's go to the Greek interlinear. For those that are watching this document here, Scriptural Comprehension Measures the Matrix. You go to our website, and if you happen to be watching and listening, go to our website. There's an icon you click on, and this document comes up in its entirety. We're on page 30. And the focus here is on prioritizing spirituality over physicality. All right? Elder Reed.
Romans 8, verse 5 in the interlinear Greek text. For the according to flesh, being the things of the flesh, mine, but the according to spirit, the things of the spirit.
Now you notice he starts this out with the preposition e, of for, because, a given the entrance into why we are so gratefully focused in spirituality and discounting how we view physicality. You know, that's actually what Paul is doing in that section. He's talking about the prize, and he used to teach us, they said, forget the things of forgetting those things behind. He taught us that basically Paul was saying, I'm forgetting all of the things that happened in the past and my old sinful life. That's what he used to teach us. No. That's what he's saying. That Greek word more favorably conveys discounting. And what he was saying is discounting the way that I viewed things in the past. I press towards the insignia of the mark of the high calling, our eternal viewing. So, discounting how I viewed things in the past, I may look at them, but I don't look at them the way I looked at things in the past. In the past, I stood and I looked around.
That's right.
Yes. Going forward, he says, from the vertical view, we shall be looking down instead of around in life. And that clears up quite a few things even in your past, doesn't it? Huh? I love the testimonies that we had in the men a fellowship yesterday. As reflecting back upon things and then tying them into the eternal plan of God. And something was existing all the time, but you just couldn't see it. And that's the difference between looking around and looking down. That's the difference between physicality. In physicality, you are confined to a microcosm, where everything focuses on you. Notice in this passage that he read, did you finish reading that?
Yes.
Let's go to our document here. Amen. Romans 8 and 5, and I apologize for all that should be 8 and 5. That's That's my bad. That's the typist. That's me. For those being according to the flesh, and this is what it states, consider on the things of the flesh. For those according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. This verse emphatically conveys differentiation of the influential mediums that charter opposing concepts of what, where, when, and how things are structured in an ontologism, or how things exist. Thus, the conversely opposite mediums, we have two. There are two ways of looking at things, in spirituality or physicality. Notice here that is, according to the flesh, everything is about materiality. In the Spirit, no materiality. And this is what throws some of us. After all, what I see, what that, you know, it must be what I see. And this is one of the problems when you move from the other dispensations and covenants and the doctrines associated with it to the grace covenant and its doctrine. In other doctrines, most things about time and physicality. In the grace covenant, everything is about eternality.
Oh, glory. Amen. Thank God. Yes. Amen.
And all things having previously existed in God. In time, the right now is a bunch of sequences and incremental depictions that are moving and that which none of them are stationary. You know, like we said now, everybody said now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's gone. You can no longer call that now. In eternity, now is what was and is and always shall be. Unmovable. Unchangeable. Non-material. Here we have the Greek word undas, rendered being. It is in characterizations of these mediums, respectively, individualized locales. One is the essence of being, and the other one, there is it's like, give a crude example, crude physical example. You're standing in the mirror. You look in the mirror, what do you see? You don't see yourself? You see a reflection. The you is not in the mirror.
No, 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 no.
The essence of you as the source would be analogous to what is spiritual. What's in the mirror would be analogous to what it's physical.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, can you reach into the mirror and do anything about the reflection that's there?
No.
Can you reach in the mirror and change anything?
No.
alter anything. And it's just strange to me. When it comes to life, we think that, and I know this is the way it looks. It seems, you know, that basically we're basically chartering things and calling things and determining things through our choices and what we do. When in fact, what in the mirror isn't really anything but a reflection. It is a testimony from the source of which it draws light. Y'all don't hear me. It draws light for expression. Hear me this morning. If you don't, life is going to beat you up. It will mesmerize you. It will frustrate you. It will disappoint you. Because you're looking in physicality and you're calling what's there genuine. Bypassing the source. And this is not how we should look at life. Back to the reading. The underlying consideration is the essence of existence and its corresponding verity or truth. Subsistence. If it's real, it's going to stick around. If it's real, it's there and will be there. If it's subject to change, and even worse, disappear, then it was never there. And you say, my life is not real, but it depends upon what you call your life. We have a Greek word there, which is the defining entity, abides in essence of what, here we have the Greek word phronousin. Phronousin. Here it is rendered think or consider or situate cognitively. What you see and consider cognitively. That which brings forth the actual composition of existence. What medium are we looking at this morning? The persuasions of conditions prevail in God's people in proportion to their scripture comprehensions in the verities or truths of eternality. Everybody say eternality. This is where we must draw what life is. You know, if something is here today and it's gone tomorrow, what does that say to you? And that only happens in the medium of physicality. In spirituality, with its Old Testament, what God does, how long does he do it?
Forever.
And if that thing is there and disappeared, then that did God do it? Well, actually, it is not the source of the entity itself. It is a reflector. Manifestation for the purpose of testimony.
That's right.
Now, if you don't understand this, Lord, you find yourself independence upon what is viewed in the wrong medium. We're looking into physicality. Now that word, when it is further broken down, think or consider, actually flows to what we call relativity. Now, we have written a few documents there as the Lord has drawn us through our exegesis of two documents, and we're going to basically just touch on them in the conference. But when we speak of relativity or relativism, ooh, Pastor, you know, no. The base word is relate.
All right.
What does a thing relate to? Defines what it actually is. It's etymological origin. That is what I'm talking about. Its origin means basically to carry back. In other words, you've got something and you need to know where it came from. So you got to go back to the original source to carry back. What does it relate to? Now, once you get there and that's not the original source, you have not carried back. You have carried forward.
Amen. Amen.
Or you have carried on.
Oh, carried on. Oh, glory to God. Thank God. Oh.
Basically, it means to give an account of something, to apply or connect with. What does this actually connect with, or what is its originating relationship? So when we talk about relativity, we're talking about the state of being dependent, or what is the dependency of existence. So, well, when we say we use the term equivalent, we mean that this equals that, and so forth. That is, we only do that in relativity. Like when you look in the mirror, we say that's the equivalent of what I look like. Well, you ever been to Carnival and you go inside there and they have those distorted mirrors, huh? And you look into them? That's not. And that's what life does. It bends and distorts. And what you think you see is not what you see. It's only what you think you're looking at. And this is why we never depend upon our eyes. I want you to turn with me into Hebrews chapter 1 and go through a little exercise that Paul uses in the preamble, introduction of this book that he writes to Hebrews. I said Paul, and I'm not going to stand here taking any time arguing with anyone. Amen. If you go through that book and you see where the writer is sending Timothy somewhere, who would that be? It has to be Paul. And some other thing. Okay, we're through with that. Amen. Those that still want to argue about whether Paul write Hebrews, amen, we love you. Hebrews chapter 1. Now here Paul had a very challenging task. First of all, He's writing to people who don't trust him. They're afraid of him because of his past. You know how we are. You know, I remember when we do that for everybody but ourselves.
Huh?
For ourselves, we don't want to remember. For the other fellow, we don't want to forget.
I hear you.
Only God can be God to deal with us. But as he writes to them, no, he does not identify himself. If he had started this off saying, Paul, the apostle, they'd have torn that up right there. I don't want to hear anything he has to say. Now, this is what I'm thinking and the reasoning here. Don't anyone say that I didn't find this anywhere. Amen. But when Peter, who is writing to the same people, speaks of an epistle, of which Paul speaking and saying what? Things in there I don't understand. And so Paul's job here is to first move those with the background in the law who had transferred to the kingdom to move them from law through kingdom law to grace. Ever start this off, read the first three verses in the King James, and then we'll move to the Greek. And we're going to do the exercises here. Amen. And exercise is to see why we must focus on these 14 epistles, Paul, to adequately receive the doctrine that, amen, is situated and focus upon it in spirituality. Mm-hmm. Everybody say eternal viewing.
Eternal
viewing. And to get any stability in life, we've got to move to eternal viewing. You cannot depend upon the things around you. How they're flowing every day. Every day you either turn on the television, on the radio, or you go, like I do, on the internet, and there's something really weird happening, isn't it? Huh? Continuously. And we are to try to make sense out of that and depend upon that. Good luck. I'm using that expression, using the word. Good luck. Mm-hmm. Luck to you. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 11 and 3. According to creation is by a saying, so that the thing that is appearing is not coming out of the seen. Where's it coming from?
The same.
Because God, there is no sequency, because God is timeless. And everything he needs to say, he's already said. Because everything is complete in him. And so he has a problem here. Taking those, it's an easier task to take someone who has never been in a religious setting and teach than someone who has very, very steeped in religious doctrines. Because in order to teach, you have to also unteach. And so, here he moves. Read that, verse 1.
Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with the first verse, King James translation. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets.
That's the first statement he made. Read.
Verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
All right. Read that third verse, and then we're going to go to the Greek here. There's some things that I want to break down. You notice he didn't have to go that route. With a Gentile. Because Gentile didn't have a history of anybody speaking to him.
No.
Except when the Gentile heard the voice of God, it was bad news. In the Old Testament. The Edomites. All right, read that third verse and then we go to the Greek. One of these days I get a couple of hours here, I can read it. I love those looks that much. Just kidding. Read.
Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purge our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Now, here are we going to go back, and we're going to go to the Greek interlinear, and then we're going to get to verse 3. We're going to do some exegesis here. Keep in mind who he's writing to. Now, one of the greatest errors of the church is to mix the church up with Israel. They said we're spiritual Israel. We're not Israel in any wise, in any way. Same God. Different policy. That is dispensation. Different covenant. This is why it was necessary for Paul to say, we're not under law, we're under grace. If you could combine law and grace, would he have made that statement?
No way.
He could say, we're under both. No, he said, we are not under law. All right, from the Greek text, Elder, read.
Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with the first verse in the interlinear Greek. In many portions and in many ways of old, God, having spoken to the fathers by the prophets, verse 2,
What he's saying there is because, you know, first thing he'll do is run back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to this day, those who have not been brought to the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ are focused on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're God's people. But we're in the era where some are blinded unto the time of the Gentiles have passed as related to who God is on a prioritized basis dealing with, and that is in the present grace dispensation. And so you go back into the Old Testament, as I was explaining to the youth class this morning, and when you go back there, you're confined to what's there. You're squarely in a microcosm. What is a microcosm? Your little small space of what's around you. And that's all you can see, and that's all you know. We go back there. We go back there to teach, not to learn.
Amen. Amen.
Because the essence of what he said to them,
oh,
ye ears of this, that, and the other, boom, boom, bam, all the way through. Stay in your gospel. Stay in your gospel.
That's right. Amen.
The essence of the grace covenant. Everybody say the grace covenant.
The grace covenant.
Which he sells and it gives panoramic view of life. And so we draw all of our doctrine, all of our instructions, all of our directives from the grace covenant. Everybody again, say the grace covenant.
The grace.
Now, we spend so much time here in the, on the internet and basically in our website, we're focusing on dividing this Bible. Listen, if you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, my friend, you're going to be confused.
Amen. Yes.
I was showing the class this morning, go back into Deuteronomy, and he said, you make the choice.
You make the offer.
As to what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We turn to Philippians and it says, it is he. That worketh in you the even action, a will, a want, a desire to do his good pleasure. Now somebody would look at that and say, the Bible contradicts itself, and I've heard people say that. No, it doesn't. What he said in the microcosm basically is based upon the extent and limitation of revelation that he had given to them. But now he has come and he's given light. He has given immense light. Walk in that light. Nobody hitched up, not many people anyway, unless it's somewhere in the, but Amish live. And of course, God bless them, we love them too. But I don't think many people around in this area hitched up a horse to a wagon for transportation this morning. Yet, there are those that keep going back there to teach, yes. To learn, no. Here he's trying to move them away. He's like, in the past, that's how he spoke. Verse 2, read.
Verse 2, in last days of these spoke to us.
In this is how he's speaking to us.
In Son.
Whom?
Through the revelation.
Whom he appointed heir.
Of the one. Appointed heir
of all things.
Of all things.
Through
what?
Through whom indeed he made the ages.
Through whom indeed
he made the ages.
Everything that is happening. Who is that? Christ. All things are what? Again?
In
him what?
Through
him what? For him. So we're no longer going to be in the desert looking up for a pillar of cloud by day and a mercy. Oh, give the Lord a praise this morning. Here he's come to give light. Now let's look at this one that we have just identified. Verse 3. Y'all stick with me. Give me about 15 more minutes and I'm just bail out this morning.
Verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
Who being radiance of the glory and representation.
Stop. We laid out that in Bible study Wednesday. Let's go back to what a thing is dependent upon what it relates to. Mm-hmm. Everything in life is about Him. Mm-hmm. Nothing in life is about us. And whatever's going on in your life is in relationship to what He has for your life.
Thank you.
And nothing comes out of the clear blue. You ask me said sometime. That thing just came out of No, it didn't. It was designed. No, Pastor. There's no way you could say that God designed this. Well, then where did it come from? If all things are what? In Him, what? Through Him, for Him. All things. In that case, you had the definite article there. And that means what? All. You mean the bad things? God had use for that. Even this man Paul, God had a purpose for his execution.
Amen.
As he had a purpose in manifestation of Christ's execution.
Amen. Absolutely.
Why do you think you're going to be exempt? Well, ministers today are always teaching about five ways how to get out of something.
Get out.
And do something. You'll never hear that from this pulpit. Your life is about Him. And what He has for you. Now, focus must be and what we relate to as what life is. Mm-hmm. And when we focus on ourselves, we'll focus it on nothing.
Nothing.
As the basis. Why did this happen to me? Why? But God has use for it. There's some things I would rather not have to deal with. That's the personal, physical, depraved me. But then the Spirit comes in and says, hey, it is Him. In Him you what? You live. In Him you what? You breathe. You move. You function. In Him, you what? You are. In Him. That's why Paul said, for me to live is Christ. My life is about Christ. Your life is about Christ. Your life is not about you. That's the hardest thing to, because, you know, the ministry is, of course, that's appealing. That's the way you fill the house. I would love to see this place filled, but I oh, but God helped, and He has fixed us, and He has tied us into, amen, this revelation of the mystery message, and all who come in here anyway, that's what you're going to hear.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
to Timothy, preach these things, and what? Don't preach any other doctrine, anything else. So that we get a true view of life. In mechanical drawing, going back to the basis of those, my background is architecture, but they have what they call the front view, the side view, the top view, but then you cut a cross section through there at an angle, and they call that, just you know, using an example, the true view.
Oh,
or what some would maybe call a perspective, but everything that we view is in two dimensions, and we have to extrapolate that third dimension in there, so you never get the total picture. But that's the way life is. If you try to view things through physicality. Now what Paul is conveying here to these Hebrews is to move from physicality, which that has been your background, through the messages of the law, because and through kingdom, because they were all earth focused from the vantage point of the earth, looking up to heaven in the but from the vantage point of the earth. Now the grace, oh my God, do you realize how blessed we are? The grace gospel and the grace covenant, amen, starts out in the eternal view. Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, what? Having blessed us with what? Each and every spiritual blessing. Where? In the heavens. Where are the heavens? In Christ. Start out looking at this thing strictly through the eyes of God. When the other gospels have been viewing this thing through the eyes of men.
Yes.
Read that third verse. Give me about 5 or 6 minutes. I'm at the bell. We'll be back to this.
Verse 3. Who being radiance of the glory and representation of the reality of him.
See that? What is actuality of reality? Depends upon what you're relating to. If you're into physicality, you're in the wrong medium. And you're focusing in the wrong mental pole. You're looking into the mirror and you're calling that reality. To know what something is, you got to go to the source of where things are.
Amen.
And we've just given this definition, it deals with source. To carry back, to know, to take this to the essence of where it came from. And he's pointing here to where things are, rather than where they are reflected. Moses never really saw the essence of the glory of God. He saw his hind parts. He saw the reflection. Moses never knew or heard of Jesus. Yes, he did. He died looking for it. Show me. Somebody, show me. No. He's taking them first of all to the one they had rejected. I've been caused to not see because they were blinded. That's why I don't argue with the legalists and those who say that their eternal focus is on the earth. The essence of our lives is that life is in Him. And they're not talking about a physical Jesus. No, we know one after the flesh, even though we have known Christ Jesus after the flesh. We don't know Him anymore after the flesh. Is that the Word of God?
That's it.
Spiritual. I'm going to come back to this. What else did he have to say about him?
Okay. Again. And bear all things by the word of the power of him.
By the word. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. This is what we'll start next week. Just finish reading. Oh, my God. Hallelujah.
Cleansing of sins, having made set on right of the greatness in high places.
You don't find any of what we're talking about in physicality. It's in the spiritual realm of eternality. Which excels and exceeds all materiality. There's nothing material, nothing physical. All the spiritual realm, amen, is all about the Word of God. And so if you want to know, time is gone, what and why and when and where, you've got to move to the point of carrying back. Carrying back to where? To the source. The source. What do you mean the source? Where things are and always have been versus where the testimony through the light is shining. So we take what we see and we go back to the source, which is the same. And so we depend upon the essence of God's word. Many years ago, first came to church, people come to the pastor and said, well, pastor, I'm having trouble. He said, well, come on to Bible class. I said, what?
That's right.
He didn't address their problem. You know, I'm young and I don't know any better. What better way to address your problem is to go to the source of why you're having the problem. When I'm having the problem, it's me. It goes further than that. Because everything about you will be a problem.
Thank God. Oh, glory.
But the essence of who you are removes you in physicality from the problem.
Hallelujah.
And so even as you go through life, hallelujah, something is happening and something's going to happen to somebody this week. It's happened last week. It happens all the time. And so when something happens, we don't ask what is this? What do we ask? What is this for? What is God's purpose for this? It's for Him, but amen. So we're going to ask the Lord anything. What is this for? What is God doing with it?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And so now you're going to have confidence. Not in yourself. You're going to discount the things, the way you have looked at things in the past.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And as you press toward the insignia of the mark,
glory to God.
What is it that belongs to the high calling? What belongs to the high calling? Eternal viewing. as you do that, you're able to see beyond the essence of what your eyes behold and see the eternal intentions of God having worked and moved in your behalf. And in that vein, we can sing the old song we sing sometimes. Look at Liam. We have to be look at Liam. Look at Liam. Can you say look at Liam? Can you say look at Liam? It's recorded. Where? It is why. Look at Liam. We'll take it up next week. God bless you.